Jesus didn't have a problem with people that's in the streets. He had a problem with religious people.
How can I help anybody when I was not even able to help my own son?
I would never do that. I would never do that. And I became that in a matter of minutes when they took my pain pills away.
And I said, I'm not where I want to be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be.
This is Faith in Your Recovery. I am Randy Davis. Welcome to the battle. You know what, folks? It may sound trite to you, but we certainly appreciate your attendance, your listening in, your joining us each and every week. We've got plenty of back episodes you can catch up on. Go ahead and do that. Make sure you subscribe and like. Tell a friend. Pass it around. We believe we've got some good things to offer. We've had some great people with us. It'll be no different in this episode. We invite you to stay in the battle, and we hope we can give you the tools, the weapons you need to come out on top. We believe we've done that more than once. We hope to do it again. Thank you. We love you. Appreciate you. Thanks for your time. Today's guest, Tabitha, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Thank you.
Hey, let's jump right into this, Tabitha. We want to hear about your story. We want to hear about the ups, the downs, the battles, the victories. We always like to finish with those victories so people can walk away having some hope. We know there were some dark moments. There are things you'll share and things you won't. We totally respect that. We just invite you to be raw, real. And if it gets sloppy, that's okay. We can deal with that. So go ahead. Start us off. Where did your struggles with addiction begin? How old were you? What did that look like? How'd you feel about yourself?
I started when I was 18. Started with, you know, the obvious smoking weed. And then I got introduced to pain pills. And I was on that for, I guess, on and off until I was like 20-ish.
Okay, the two of them, is that what you mean? You were on that, or had you gone from the marijuana to the pills?
I gone from the marijuana to the pills.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Take us off from there.
Okay, and then I got pregnant at 20, and then my best friend had died in a car accident. I actually found out I was pregnant a week before she died. So that kind of made it a little bit harder. I had a hard time stop using pills when I was pregnant with my daughter. I had tried to go to the hospital for help. I got all the way to the inpatient center. I got checked in and everything. And then they told me, sorry, we can't help you. So at that point I'm like, okay.
Why was that? I asked.
They didn't say. They just said, we're sorry. There's nothing we can do for you. I'm like, okay, I'm already ready. I had the gown on. I had, you know, whatever else they had hooked up to me, and I'm just like, what am I supposed to do?
Exactly. What did you do?
Well, I tried my hardest to quit. So I started using less and less because I heard if you just quit cold turkey, it would be worse for the baby. So I did calm down from that. I think I was probably eight and a half months when I finally was able to quit cold turkey. And then, you know, I had my daughter, and then after that, I don't know how long it was after that, but I don't even know how I got back into it. And then at that point I was introduced to the methadone clinic, which, you know, someone told me if DCS or anything ever gets called on you, they can't take your kid cause you're going to the methadone clinic. I was like, all right, cool. I'll just do that.
So
not a big
that
deal.
Was, an insurance, a yes. Protection.
Mm-hmm. It was a free pass.
You didn't. Thank you. I'll leave it at that. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So I went there for a while, quite some time. Almost 22 when I went. And then I moved to Portland when my daughter was 2, and then I had to quit cold turkey off of that. And that was very hard. Very, very hard.
How old is your daughter now?
Right now she is 9.
She is 9. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes.
You know, I think back to that day and age, looking at 9 years ago, things were a whole lot different as far as treatment.
Yes.
I can remember, and Eric is our, he's our sound man, our director. As I recall, I think it was your cousin who worked in a facility here in Anderson, and they had a program to, one of the first I'd heard of, to help those gals out who were pregnant, trying to get off of drugs, who were in duress and distress and everything that went with it. I'm sure you could go back. Eric, do you remember the one I'm talking about?
Yeah, you're talking about Brooke.
Yes. Schaefer, right?
Yes.
Yep. Yeah. Go back to that episode, folks. I can't tell you what that number was. We've done over 180 now, and I'm lucky to remember to be here today, okay? But go back to that episode with Brooke Schaefer. You'll get some great advice, and I invite you to do that as well, Tabitha, when you get home, just to reflect and see some of the positive changes. So, your daughter, you had her, mm-hmm. you had all that struggle, you're trying to go cold turkey at different times, and you're trying to use other methods, and you weren't able to get there. What, during that, what would you consider your darkest time?
Probably as I was, when my daughter was 1.5, just sitting there, and I can't even remember how many, I mean, because when I went to the methadone clinic, you could go up all you want. I mean, there's no limit. I mean, there is, but, like, it's so easy to go up, but to come down, you have to go through all these steps. So I was at such a high dose that I honestly can't even remember how many times I would just sit there and just, you know, start to, like, fall asleep. I mean, she was never really in, I mean, I guess that is in harm, but I never left her unattended or fell asleep on her or anything. But I just remember trying to fight to stay awake, you know, to be able to watch her grow. And it hurts that I didn't get, I don't really remember her first words, when those were, because I was just so worried about going up to the methadone clinic at that time.
That was your focus instead mm-hmm. of your daughter. Yes. Yeah. Hard to say, but
it is. It is very hard to say.
Being transparent with that.
Definitely.
I am sure you're not the first. Others are doing that right now, and others will follow in the future. Mm-hmm. And they need to know it's happened before.
Yep.
And you're living proof. You came mm-hmm. out of it. What was it? What was the lights on moment that helped you move from addiction to recovery? From being a mother who was there but not truly attentive to one who started to behave, respond as a mom hopefully would and should?
Well, I had a moment, probably like a 2 to maybe 3 year period where I didn't really do anything at all. I drank sometimes, but drinking was never really my thing. And then I had my son. And it was probably about a week after I had him. I don't know why I did it. I have no idea. I don't even remember where I got it. I just, full-blown meth addiction. And he was born in 2019, so they're about 3 years apart. And then in 2024, my daughter and I had gotten into a really bad car accident. And after that, that's when I realized that if I do not change my life and do better, that I won't have one, and neither will my kids.
Were you one of the drivers in this accident?
Yes. Or? So it was a head-on collision. Another car had veered into my lane and hit me head-on.
So you weren't at fault?
No.
You were involved?
Yes. Okay. Yes. My daughter got lifeline to Riley, where she suffered a traumatic brain injury. We also didn't know if she was going to make it past 3 days because her brain was swelling so bad. I got shipped to Lutheran. I shattered my ankle. So that was...
How's your daughter doing today?
She's doing great.
Good.
She's thriving. She's doing amazing. She just has to have one more eye surgery in July. And then I do believe after that we're completely clear from surgeries. So.
Sounds to me like she's a very fortunate, blessed young lady.
She is.
You with her, of course, but looking at her and the the struggles she went through, she's pretty much rising to the top from that.
She is. I'm very proud of her.
Awesome. Awesome. What were your feelings from the lows of the addiction to the highs of getting into recovery and seeing success? What are some of the victory steps that you were able to accomplish? And how did you move out of that other than just the fear that the accident caused?
Well, since we were separated, I guess because at that point I knew that she needed me. She needed me now more than ever. So I know that if I didn't keep my life straight, I wouldn't have her at all in my life. And I definitely didn't want that. I didn't want her to be in the hospital by herself. I didn't want her to wake up alone. So, you know, and then I also had my son, who thankfully wasn't in the accident, but his dad had him at the time. And I'm just very grateful that I had... I'm grateful that it happened, because if not, I don't think I would have stopped.
You know what? There are times in our lives where all of us need a smack with a 2x4 or something.
Mm-hmm, okay. Definitely.
And we don't like to admit that, but it's true. Mm-hmm. And if that's what it took, and you're both going to be physically okay, and now you can be relationally okay, and you can be a healthier you, more of the mom I'm sure you want to be.
Yes.
To her, to your son.
Definitely.
And more of the person that you want to be.
Yes. Yes. I just want to be the best me that I can be. That way I know that my kids grow up seeing that and seeing that they can also do whatever, you know, whatever they want to do. I just try to give them the best life that I know how.
You know what? I'd love to use the phrase that my goal in life is to help people become the person God created them to be.
Mm-hmm.
Those weren't your exact words. Those were your same inclinations.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Or that's basically what you were, the point you were getting across.
Yes. And
what would happen in this world if that became your policy, my policy? You folks who are listening, if we started to work toward becoming the me God created us to be.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And I actually, what's crazy is I actually took classes a couple weeks ago to get my CSPS certification. That
help,
way I could help.
Help me a minute. What's CSPS? I will know when you tell me, but
I know. It is a certified... What is it? Certified Special Peer Support.
And that means?
It could be used to, like, be a peer recovery specialist to help
that
others.
That qualifies mm-hmm. you for peer recovery work.
Absolutely.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
So that's what I'm kind of trying to get into. So that way I can help others be the best them that, you know, that they can be for whatever their recovery path looks like.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Awesome. It's important that we've got those goals in front of us and the steps to get there. That's part of your sobriety and being clean, having
mm-hmm.
that direction.
Yes.
And being able to accomplish that. So congratulations on that.
Thank you.
And stay with it, because we all know that we need more help than we have.
Yes, and I am trying, definitely trying.
Yeah. One more person who's willing to say, here I am, maybe I can help you.
Mm-hmm.
And we all connect differently. So the same person can't accomplish it all, even if there's enough time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we're here today. There are many podcasts that deal with subjects like sobriety and addiction. Not the way we do. They may be better. They may not. It doesn't
yeah.
matter. We're in it together. And that's the only way we're going to be able to overcome all of that.
Exactly.
What's the advice you would give to someone who went through basically the same journey of addiction you did? You know, we know no two stories are the same. We get that. No two people take the absolute same path to recovery. We get that. There's multiple ways. But give them advice through what worked for you.
What worked for me was obviously focusing on my daughter. But my advice would be it's never too late. I don't care if it's been 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. It is never too late to change your life and to do whatever it is that you want to do.
That's a neat thing to hear. It's never too late. We think we've crossed the line relationally, spiritually, mm-hmm. and in so many ways. Now, that line keeps moving, folks. We've always got at least, as long as we have breath, we've got one more chance.
Mm-hmm.
Or we're going to use it or waste the moments that may be our last ones and see where it'll take us. Where does faith play a role for you in all of this, Tabitha?
For me, okay, so growing up, I did not grow up a Christian. I did not believe in God. But when the accident happened, me and my daughter were at separate hospitals. I was laying there in a hospital bed, and after I got off the phone with the doctors, and they said, you know, get ready to say your goodbyes. You only have maybe 3 days. If it doesn't stop, then she'll be...
And you weren't there physically with her
correct.
At that time, and could not be.
Correct.
Is that accurate?
That is very
okay,
accurate.
Okay, so get ready to say your goodbyes, which means over the telephone
yeah.
to somebody at her age who mm-hmm. wasn't yet ready for conversation and total understanding.
Exactly.
Go
at
ahead.
That point, she was in a coma, so really,
couldn't
I mean, she could probably hear, but she could not respond back at all. And I just sat there, and I couldn't sleep, obviously, and I just prayed. I was like, God, I was like, I know we don't have a connection. I was like, but if you do anything for me, just please save my daughter, and I will do whatever I need to make sure she has the best life. And then I got up to the hospital probably maybe 3 days later, if that. And then all of a sudden her brain pressure started to slow down, and we were in the green. Everything was going great.
So was that physical change... after you arrived physically?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we don't know, but just being there mm-hmm. and your daughter, you know, hearing that, that's mom's voice,
yeah.
whether she can express.
I'm
yeah. about to get emotional over that moment. That's powerful.
It is.
I just see you, and I say this humbly with glory to God. I see you walking in the room, and I see that meter.
Well, remember, I broke my ankle, so really I was kind of somebody was pushing me in a wheelchair. So I rolled in there, really.
All right. That's okay, too. It's all the same, regardless of how you got
yeah.
in there. But the meters and everything going off, and all of a sudden the numbers climbing to where they need to be or
yeah.
reducing to where they need to be. Whatever mm-hmm. the case, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And she starts to rally, and then I like what you said. We were in the green from then on, which mm-hmm. meant it was go.
It was.
How long were you two guys apart due to the accident?
Oh, goodness. So it happened in March. I got to go up there and visit every weekend because I still had to wait for another surgery on my foot. So we really didn't get to actually be together full time until probably like late April, mid-April, because I had my other leg surgery like early April, which is the exact same day that she had a G-tube put in and a trach put in also. So we had surgeries on the same day. Which not neat, but I thought it was a real, it really connected us, I feel like. And then after that, I got to be up there full time.
So you got to see her every weekend
mm-hmm.
for a while.
Yeah.
And then you were able to be with her for a longer period of time.
Yes, I was up there 24/7 after that.
Okay. How many days before you first got to see her following the accident?
Okay.
How many days before you first got to see her?
See, it happened on the 28th of March. I believe I was out by the 30th, and I think I want to say by April 1st was
okay,
the first
so
time I got to see her since the accident.
3 days.
Roughly, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Had to be a long, 72 hours, yeah?
Yes, it was. It was the worst 72 hours of my life.
I can't imagine. And it sounds like life and death for her during those 72 hours.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, wow. Okay. As she started to come around and regain, you know, her normal skills, what's the first words you remember from her? Can you?
Yes, yeah, sorry. Yep. Her first words was, "I love you, Mom."
Don't be sorry for that. That's awesome.
I know, it was. She had her trach in, and they had put like a cover on it, that way it would help her talk. And the nurse is like, "Is there anything you want to say to your mom?" And she just goes, "I love you, Mom."
Wow. Powerful.
It was.
Powerful, for sure. What do you tell a parent that's going through something similar, their child's in a life or death situation?
Just,
for you, what got you through that?
Honestly, well, my mom really is what got me through it. She was my rock through all of this. And just hang in there, even when it's hard. Even if you're not even ready to stop using, if something like that happens, if it's caused by that, just make sure that you hang in there and that you're there.
We always advise our listeners at the end of each episode, or at least I try to, stay in the battle.
Yes.
Pretty much the same as hang in there.
Yeah.
Hold on every ounce of hope you can grip.
Mm-hmm.
And trust in faith, everything else, and believe, and, you know, give it to God and wait for Christ to work. And
yes.
He will do his thing. Awesome experience. Who is Tabitha today? What does Tabitha think about herself compared to what she thought about herself back during those days of heavy addiction?
That's a really good question. What I think about myself today is that I know I'm not perfect. I don't claim to be perfect, but I'm trying. And I'm working on being the best me that I can be, and that feels amazing. I feel great. Even through all the struggles, I definitely feel a lot better today than what I did back then.
What are the disciplines that have helped you stay above the addiction? Not just so you can be there for the kids,
yeah.
And that's of ultimate importance. I'm
mm-hmm.
not debating that. But what are some of the disciplines that have helped you do that?
Support. People around you that understand. Not necessarily that they've been through it, but they understand. Going to meetings. Has definitely helped a lot, and being around people who are struggling with the same things. Cause, I mean, addiction has no face, you know, like it's always been said. So just being around people that have experienced addiction also, and it's nice to kind of talk about it and not feel judged, you know, because if you go up to someone and they've never had to deal with that, they're going to look at you a lot differently than someone who has been through that.
Into that, you know, I've watched that happen over the years, and I tell folks quite often, I'll say it again with you here today, I don't come from an addiction background, but I come from a background who cares for those who are struggling,
mm-hmm.
regardless of what that struggle is. I've learned to come to a certain amount of understanding, and I know you're thinking you can't understand it all if you haven't been there. You're right. I'm okay with that. But don't hold a stigma and a bias against me because
mm-hmm.
I haven't been there. I want to be there with you now.
I'm definitely not, you know, I definitely understand. I understand more now that people who haven't been through it, it's getting better. The stigma is getting better. But it does help, you know, to know, like, if I, you know, if someone who's going through addiction talks to somebody who hasn't been through addiction, they're like, "I understand. I get it. I get that you're struggling. I've struggled, but maybe not with addiction, but, you know, I've struggled with other things." And it definitely helps make that connection.
I feel that. I mentioned this more than once. My mom took her own life when I was 23 years old. That gave me some insights to understanding mental health conditions. You say you have to have done the drug to understand it. I don't totally agree with that.
I
see you
either.
Shaking your
yeah,
head. Thank you.
I don't
you.
Either.
That's like with my mom.
Mm-hmm.
I can understand a certain amount of suicide. Not because I've been there. And obviously, I haven't successfully accomplished that, nor mm-hmm. have I ever tried. But it's the idea that, just like one of the gentlemen in one of our chapters, he said, hey, I'm not sure I can do this. I don't understand A, B, C, D mm-hmm. about it. And I said, yeah, but can you love the people you're working with?
Yep.
He said, yeah. He reminded me of that after about 8 years of his involvement in one of our chapters, him remembering that challenge, that question. And I think that's where it begins. And the scriptures I've been looking at recent that help define and describe A Better Life, Brianna's Hope, continue to talk about how Christ had compassion on them. Then he fed them, or then he healed them, or then he led them. When we start any effort and make compassion first, the actions are going to come, folks. Good mm-hmm. things are going to happen. That's just the way God works.
Yeah.
That's not Randy's formula. That's God's.
Yeah, and it may not happen overnight. I mean, it may, you know, sometimes it takes some time, you know, to do all the, especially, I always feel like if you, the more good things you do, the more good things that will come.
Absolutely.
It doesn't mean it's going to happen right away. Nope. It may, you know, you may do something good today, and something good may come back to you 3 years from now.
You're going to reap what you sow.
Yep, exactly.
You sow evil, bad things are mm-hmm. going to come. You sow God, you sow good, good things are going to come as a result of that.
Definitely.
And so we've got to be patient. We've got to hang in there. We've got to hold on. We've got to stay in the battle. We've got to continue to encourage, continue to love. Mm-hmm. Love is not something that changes the game in a heartbeat, but over time, it will have an impact. And so, yeah, that's an important aspect of it. What are some of your hopes for the future, Tabitha? I know you said you've got this, I will not try to give you the letters, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But you've got some qualifications now. You had them before, but you've got documentation mm-hmm. of your qualifications, I'll put it that way,
mm-hmm.
that say, I am now capable of A, B, and C.
Yeah.
What's A, B, and C for you?
A, B, and C for me would be to help others that need it. And eventually, I would like to kind of start a mobile crisis unit for the Jay County area, because I don't think we really have that. I could be wrong. But just someone to kind of call, you know, if you're in a crisis, and they come out with no judgment, no law enforcement, you know, just a team to help get you through what you need to get through. That way, you know, because a lot of people won't ask for help or say they need help because they're afraid of, you know, being arrested or whatever.
I like the visual that provides. Mm-hmm. I see that pulling up with the staff with four or five people with various and different gifts.
Yes.
And being able to offer those to that individual who's struggling and help them get one step closer to their recovery, whatever that may be for, whether it's mm-hmm. drugs, mental health, physical, emotional, whatever it may be. So, yeah. Your immediate goals?
Oh, gosh. My immediate goals is just to make it till tomorrow. If I don't take it day by day, if I try to push it too far ahead, I...
Great answer.
Yeah, it doesn't work for
it
me,
it almost
so,
seemed like a trick
day.
Question, but that's kind of a humbling answer. It's probably the best answer you could have given me, right?
Yeah.
For accuracy and mm-hmm. everything else. Yeah, yeah. What's in your heart that you want to say here today that we make sure we get out? Can't guarantee it'll be heard, but we can still share it. What would be that statement or paragraph you'd want to share?
Probably that. I mean, if you, when you're ready, there's always somebody to listen. I mean, and my inbox is always open for anybody who, you know, needs advice or, you know, just needs somebody to talk to. And I'll do the best I can to help you. And if I can't help you, I'll do the best I can to point you in a direction of someone or something or a place that can help you. So just know that no matter what you're going through, you're never going through it alone.
That's, I think, one of those things we talk ourselves into. Nobody else has ever been through this, we'll say. Mm-hmm. And yet it says in Scripture, Solomon speaks and says, there's nothing new under the sun. So somebody else has experience.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you don't know them doesn't mean it's not there.
Exactly.
And by seeking the help, you just may find it. That's scriptural too. Seeking, you'll find.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that's in more things than just our relationship with Christ, though that's primary. I believe that fits in so many other areas as well.
Definitely.
Yeah. What would you tell your daughter if she was, let's say she gets to 15 to 20,
mm-hmm.
okay, the age range. She came to you, Mom, I was offered some drugs, and hey, I did them tonight. What do I do?
Wow, that is a tough one. I'd probably just talk to her about it. I'd ask her how it made her feel, ask her if it's something she wants to continue to do, and just kind of educate her really on, I don't want to say like a rough group, but probably just more like educate her on, you know, what she may be going through.
She's got to choose the right group. She's got to weigh it. And mm-hmm. Are these the folks that are going to move me forward? Are they going to stop me, possibly dead in my tracks?
Exactly. And if she's like me, she's going to be a people pleaser. So I feel like if that is a route, it's going to be hard for her. And I just want to make sure that no matter what, I'm not judgmental. I will listen, and I will just be there for her for whatever she needs. If she needs me to guide her, I'll guide her. If she needs me to listen, I'll just listen. If she needs me to interfere, I'll be more than happy to interfere in a situation like that. But I kind of want her to grow up and make her own choices. Because you can't learn if you don't make a mistake.
Oh, they're going to come, even mm-hmm. with the best of guidance.
I know, okay, and I'm not ready for that, that's for sure. I feel like it's going to be more my son than my daughter, but,
well,
you know.
Well, okay, that question can transfer to him just as easily. You made a comment there, you're a people pleaser. So mm-hmm. I've got to ask you a question. How many brothers and sisters do you have?
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so on my dad's side, my dad and my stepmom, I have 3 brothers. Oh, wait, hold on. Oh, I got to count.
That's okay. Here's what I'm getting at, regardless mm-hmm. of the number. It's usually that middle child who is that people pleaser. He or she tries to play both sides, mm-hmm. keep his older brothers, sisters, whatever, you know, comfortable in the younger ones. I don't know where you fit there.
I am smack dab in the middle on my dad's side. And I grew up with my dad, so I had...
That was your influence more
mm-hmm.
so.
Definitely, yes.
Yeah. I am a middle child as well, and I follow that same syndrome,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Yep.
And I've come to recognize that. I've learned to battle it, and there are times it's an asset
mm-hmm.
and times it's a pain.
That is no joke.
So you've got to make the right decision at the right time, and it just follows that middle child, okay?
Yep.
So, yeah. Yeah, I get it with all that. Listen, we're going to wrap it up here before long. But before we do, we've got a question. Eric, will you give us that question?
Yes. How has your faith supported you through the challenging moments in your recovery journey?
Wow. It has supported me because I know if I have never never really gone to church, never really believed that it's also never too late to start believing in Christ if that's what you choose to do, and that he will always be there for you. He was there for me in my darkest times, and I pray to him every night. And I used to never pray before. I pray to him every night, and I do the best that I can to live by him.
That's pretty concise and pretty accurate, all right?
I hope so.
No, I think that's well said in a hurry without any hem-hawing around. So, we've just got a matter of minutes here. Anything you want to close us with before we get ready to shut down here?
I guess, like I said before, my inbox is always open to anybody that's struggling.
Tabitha, do you mind telling them how to get to your inbox? And if you don't want to, that's fine.
No, that's fine. Just type my name in, Tabitha Fleming. I'll be right there, and you can just hit the message. I'll make sure I check my my message request in case we're not friends on Facebook, or even add me first. I mean, that's perfectly fine, too. I have no problems with that. Or if you even have any questions more in-depth about my story, or you need any guidance, I mean, I'm there. I may not message you right away because I do have two kids, but I will do the best I can to get to it in a timely manner.
You know, I don't always give the last name, so I hadn't given your last name, but indeed it is Fleming,
it
right?
Is. Yes.
Fleming.
Yes, just one M. Please do not put two.
Okay.
It will not get you anywhere.
And it is Tabitha, T-A-B-A?
Yes, T-A-B-A-T-H-A.
All right, mm-hmm. Tabitha Fleming. I keep wanting to say flaming because I have a friend with that last name. So that's why I keep looking every time at your last name there.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, thank you. Thank you for your transparency, your honesty. I can tell by your voice, your style, your demeanor, you're sincere about trying to help, and that's what we're about here, faith in your recovery. We just want to touch, change, and save lives and help you find that next right step.
Mm-hmm.
So if you'll continue to listen to us, subscribe, and like what you hear, that's an encouragement, a help to us. And anything we can do, get a hold of us. Go to our website at ablbh.org. That's our Better Life, Brianna's Hope page. It's got all the information for a podcast or any other way we can help you if you're battling addiction. But until then, stay in the battle. God bless. Thank you. We love you. Amen.